listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm letting my drug kick in. It controls my mouth and I begin to just let it flow, let my concepts go. My posse to the side yelling, go vanilla, go smooth, cause that's the way I will be. And if you don't give a damn, then why you staring at me? So get off, cause I control the stage. There's no dissing allowed, I'm in my own phase. The girls say they love me and that's okay, and I can dance better than any kid in play. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Saturday, ready for y'all's feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can do all this feedback stuff by going to theblackouttips.com. You can do stuff like donate to the show, vote in the polls. What else can you do? You can leave comments on the website. You can, I don't know, a bunch of stuff, man. 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Read them on the air, as long as we like them. Email us to blackouttips@gmail.com. There you go. That's a bunch of ways to get in contact with us. The official weapon of the show is
a taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And let's talk about all the people that took the time out to donate to the show this week and hit the donation jar.
Mm-hmm. I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
That's right. Today's a new day to get that new money. We got Gabriel L., recurring donator. Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you.
Linwood C., recurring donator. Natasha T. We got one-time donation from Robert who says, I enjoy the show. Wish you had an Amazon link, too. But just wanted to send some support, Rob and ATL. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Ken B., recurring donator. Thank you, Ken. Recurring donation, brand new from Pamela B., I'm sorry. Pamela B., recurring donator. Thank you, brand new. Welcome to the new members class.
Thank you.
Kimberly L., recurring donator. Brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kimberly. Shantae B., Joy M., and Catherine B. are all recurring donators.
Thank you.
Double A Marketing and Consultants, LLC, recurring donator. Thank you very much. And that's it for this week. But it was still so many people. Thank you so much. Play me out, Kurt.
Hate to see you give a pound.
God, people.
You look so much better when you smile. So smile.
Now, every day ain't gonna be perfect. But it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Today's a new day. But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
The Holy Ghost power
fell from heaven. Shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
All right, all right. Let's do some reviews. We only got one on iTunes this week. Getting close to Christmas. A lot of y'all gonna have some time off. Take the time out to review us.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got nothing else going on?
Right, you gonna be there with your kids. They gonna be getting on y'all nerves. Y'all know y'all take 2 weeks off with the kids because it's Christmas break.
Right. I don't hear no bullshit, man. Y'all get out there and get y'all... give your fam some reviews.
What else is you doing?
Yeah, we got one from Film Wanderer who says, one of a kind couple. Y'all have been my go-to podcast of escape all the stupidity and evil in the world, especially this week. Amazing show, superb premium content, and y'all are just all around good people. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your feedback was helpful. I will not report a concern or say no. We also had some 5-star reviews on Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for hooking us up on Stitcher, guys.
Yes.
We had Calla Beauty, who writes in, Dim Tips, 5 stars. Found this podcast by randomly searching Black in iTunes over a year ago. I was yearning to hear some interesting Black voices in the podcast world after feeling so excluded from the podcast I was listening to. I'm so glad I found Rod and Karen's podcast. They keep me up to date, in the know, and I'm more often than not the source of where I get my content first. They are so thorough in their coverage of the news and world events, I'm pretty much giving up completely on getting the truth and the full story from any local national news on TV. I appreciate these two for telling it like it is with no apologies. But you know what they say. We do what we want and say what we want with no apologies.
Mm-mm.
Excuse me if I want to say what I want with no apologies. And they can shoot me up. Hell no. Hell no. And they can shoot me up. Hell no. Hell no. All right. Sorry. That being said, this show will also have you cracking up all the way up. They are hilarious. This show has helped me get through many a tough day. I also love and they introduced me to so many other great podcasts like Gaming and Then Some, Slacker Society, Black Astronauts, and What's the Tea to name a few. Give this podcast a listen. You won't regret it. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says 5 stars, funny, social, conscious, and ratchet. It took me a while, but I finally figured out how to leave a 5-star review on Stitcher. I also made a one-time paltry $5 donation, but that's all I could afford right now. Listen, you don't knock what you can provide, okay?
I'm trying to tell you, honey, if that's the best, we are satisfied.
We are like the local pastor, okay? We will take anything.
Every dollar counts.
You know what I mean? I don't, like, I'll take your grandmother's dialysis machine. Like, we'll turn it into cash. Like, we'll find a way. So, don't oh, that's right, we also got a 5-star review from Belgium. I gotta go back and find that, give me a second. But yeah, we'll take it all, okay?
We will. Yeah, we,
if you want to give plasma, we'll take it.
Yeah, we have no problem at all, guys. I know you like, well, I don't got much, I only got a dollar to give. Give your dollar. Every dollar counts, guys. It doesn't have to be a lot, and if you can't give, just spread the word.
Oh, like if you got like an old VHS tape collection, you just want to mail it to us and then we'll go pawn it. We'll take that money. We don't care. Yeah. Your kids' lunch money. We'll take food out their mouth. That's how we get down. You know, I can't speak for these other podcasts. It's too uppity to do it, but not me.
Mm-mm.
When I see y'all post new shoes on Twitter and stuff, I'll be mad. Like, that's my money. I'll be like, these hoes ain't loyal.
Mm-mm, they sure ain't.
Let me finish this review now. I love the blackout tips. I love the interactions between Rod and Karen. You're able to make socially conscious topics accessible and funny. Your Walking Dead recaps keep me laughing, especially Rod's Morgan impersonations. I know. I love Lenny James, but he does talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
And your Wiz and by the way, I think you're the only person that likes that impression. Nobody else has ever hit me up to say they like that. I don't know that it's accurate, but I like doing it. All lives matter. And your Wiz recap had people on the train looking at me like I was nuts. Dorothy Schroeder got bodies. Ha! I'll never think of the Wiz or the Wizard of Oz again. At least once a week, I'm posting links to your page on my Facebook feed and asking, have you listened to the Blackout Tips yet? Thanks for the laughs and the info.
That right there is priceless. I think people don't value how much just sharing shit matters. And like I said, we know that everybody might not be in the financial position where they could do it at this time. But man, just on your Facebook, on your Twitter feed, we on Google Plus, we on about every platform just about. So just sharing is actually a lot valuable.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't recognize that power in that, because when you share something like that, keep in mind, it's a personal recommendation. So when you share something on your social media, those people are more apt to listen. Yesterday,
yes, they are.
Yesterday we got so many people in it, cause we keep a column, you know, to check the TBGWT hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
And we were blowing up all day yesterday. And it was cause Kerry Washington, who you guys may know as Olivia from Scandal,
mm-hmm,
asked people what podcast they listen to. Now look, I don't know why she asked that. Maybe she's starting her own podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wants recommendations on what to listen to.
Right.
Maybe she wants recommendations on like people that could interview her or show she could go on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was so refreshing to see so many people recommend our podcast to her, you know, including like Reagan Gomez and Bomani Jones and stuff like that, because it, like, you know, to me, that recommendation, even if Kerry Washington never reads a single tweet, there's people that follow these people that right. follow you on social media. They're just like, oh, they love this podcast. Maybe I'll check it out now. And it always helps. We continually get so many people that say, hey, I came over because I saw y'all got mentioned here, or I heard you guys on this show, or so-and-so was talking about you. Mm-hmm. Like that stuff helps a lot, and we try to do it as well. All right, damn, I'm looking at Twitter. Mm-hmm. Roy Jones Jr. just got knocked out today. He's 46 years old. He's still boxing.
Why?
I thought he was in the official announcing part of his career. How many times?
50, sir.
Let me say this article for Balls D Sports. I know me and Justin gonna be clowning.
You almost next 50, Friday, dog. I mean, I'll decide. Not unless you. I mean, to be fighting at 50, you have to stay in like top notch shape and take your insure and you know be sure you get you stretched out before you fight. Like it ain't no. The older you get, the more maintenance your body needs.
Right, Jesus. All right, man. Take care of your finances, everybody.
Please do.
Miss Miller 728 says, 5 stars. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Rod and Karen. Let me start off by saying this is my 6th or 7th attempt at leaving a review. Well, you the real MVP. Thank you for sticking it out.
Yes, thank you.
Because this is our first time reading it. Mm-hmm. Keeping my fingers crossed that I will do it right this time. I don't remember when I started listening, but I think it was about 2.5 years ago. I went premium so I could listen to Balls Deep, even though I'm not really into sports. I just like the conversations and sports-related gossip. The play-by-play of Michael Jordan's speech had me dying. That dear brother. You guys keep me entertained during the day while I work from home cranking out these TPS reports. I love Guess the Race. I play while watching the local news and yell out all kinds of racist stuff.
Like most of us do in real life.
My new favorite segment is Ball Alert. That hating ass Terrell Jones is a new kind of ninja. I enjoy the reviews and recaps of Walking Dead so much, I finally started watching the show last season. My favorite guests are Rod's parents. I love when they are on the show. What can I say about Justin, or Jay Trill as I call him? Oh, by the way, Justin's going to be on the show next week on Tuesday.
Oh, shit, now?
For all you non-premium folks that be like, where's Justin?
And for you folks that's going to be shocked and surprised and go, Rod, how can you have a friend like that? Yeah. You're welcome in advance, because I know some of you go, Justin, who the hell is Justin?
Right. All y'all be wanting him back till he's back. Then y'all be like, this nigga.
Right. He needs to leave.
Yeah, but he'll be there. And we're also doing Balls Deep on Thursday instead of Friday. I hate myself for laughing at the foul stuff he says. For example, during the Balls Deep show a few weeks back, when he said that Brittany Griner was thinking about them babies, I can't bring myself to repeat it. Damn it, Justin, Karen, we share a similar sense of humor. I catch myself laughing in unison with you, or we both say dang at the same time when Rod is reading some crazy messing with black people or guess the race story. Thanks for introducing me to Nick, Jew, and Reggie, black astronauts, as well as Three Guys On. I'm super late, but congratulations on 1,000+ episodes. As long as you keep cranking them out, I will be here listening. One last thing. Do y'all have an official grandmother at the show? If not, I'm putting in my bid. Hey, there you go.
That's your position.
You got it. Nobody's thought of doing that yet. So.
That is your position. And thank you, everybody, for leaving reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, to leave a review on Stitcher. Actually, Google the black guy who tips Stitcher page. Go straight to the Stitcher page, and you can leave a review that way. Because if you try any other method, just about I understand the trouble that people have, and it's very hard to do it, because I've had to leave one. If you have an iOS device, especially like your iPhone or iPad, it lets you leave comments, but these comments are on the individual episodes, and it doesn't go to the main feed for us to read them. And also, whenever you leave a review on Stitcher, whenever you leave a review on Stitcher, Stitcher will send you an email. So if you left a review on Stitcher and you're like, it never posted, go check your email. Also, go check your junk/spam email and confirm, and then Stitcher will leave a review, because people might have said, I left a review but it never posted, and that's because you did not confirm your email address. To leave us a review on iTunes, go to any Apple device, go into your iTunes and type in the Black Guy Who Tips and leave us a 5-star review. If you are not if you don't have any iOS devices and things like that, what you can do is go to iTunes.com, download iTunes, leave us a review through iTunes. Then you can delete iTunes off your device. It doesn't leave any spam or anything like that. If you want to create an account just for us and leave, not only, guys, we are pushing for you to leave reviews for us, but also leave reviews for other podcasts that you love too. And like we've said before, and I will emphasize on this, we understand that for some people you like, I don't have two quarters to rub together. That's cool. What you can do is leave us reviews and share with your friends, for absolutely positively free, and it is invaluable, guys. We thank you in advance. And I'm still out there looking at all them people that I know listen to us week after week, and you still ain't left no review. Christmas, you got 2 weeks, y'all. Christmas coming up, New Year's coming up. Make this your New Year's resolution.
And we have one five star review all the way from Belgium.
Woohoo!
That's right, guys, Belgium. This is from High Yellow Moon, who says, Rod and Karen are the cool ass friends we all want to, oh, I'm sorry, the title was Thanks for Being My Lifeline.
Oh.
Rod and Karen are the cool ass friends we all want to have. I've been traveling for a year, and my five times a week TBGWT fix has kept me sane, from the fishing village in Brazil to the beaches in Croatia. It's given me a voice to my anger, pain, and joy at the struggle black people face worldwide. It has been a lifeline to home. You are seriously missing out if you don't listen to this podcast. Black expats especially need to get up on this. Keep up the great work and much love. P.S. I got five on it for the premium soon. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. And you be safe out there, sweetie. Traveling around the world ain't no joke, dog.
And if you guys have reviews from other countries, because we can only see the United States ones, just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know via social media or whatnot. We'll look it up and we'll read your review as well.
Right. This does include Canada and or Mexico. I know we touch each other, but iTunes don't care.
We also have some Canada, Mexico. You know we touch each other, guys. Don't be ashamed of us. You guys know what we did.
Right. iTunes, like, I don't give a damn. Y'all still separated.
Y'all gonna claim us in the night, in the daytime.
Right.
Call us at 3 in the morning, talking about what's going on, you ozer.
Right.
You wanna do some things, eh?
Yeah.
But then we go on iTunes, y'all try to act like y'all don't know who we are. Okay. I'll see how it is.
We see how it is.
Canada, mm-hmm. Mexico. We got comments on the website. The first one is pregame episode 18. The pregame is a premium podcast that we just turn the mics on before we record, for Balls Deep Sports typically. And it's just me and Justin normally and whoever the guest is. And if Karen's around sometimes too.
Yes.
This week it was B. Cole, for pregame episode 18. We almost killed B. Cole again. Cause after we did this, B. Cole went to the hospital again. I don't know what it is about him doing our podcast. And then within that week, he ends up in the hospital.
We don't have to ban him. We ain't trying to keep you in the hospital, sir.
I'm just glad he made it out alive and he's okay.
Me too.
AJ the engineer left a comment. What's up, y'all? That baller alert list was pretty dumb, but it was funny as hell to hear Jay Trill's responses. Yeah, the baller alert, advice column from @ProudlyLauren. Was about, I think it was 10 places to meet a woman, mm-hmm. which you're not looking. Cause we went through 10 places to meet a man.
Yeah.
I think. Or maybe it was 10 places to meet a man. Whichever way it was the opposite on this one.
Yes.
And, I had Justin give some advice. I'm not sure what's up with @ProudlyLauren and why she has to find all these odd spots to meet men. Cause I peeped her Twitter and she looks pretty nice. Yeah, she's a very pretty woman.
She is.
She did have one good point though, that bookstore. I went to Barnes & Noble a couple weeks ago to buy a Star Wars comic. Thanks for the suggestion. When I noticed there was some pretty women's walking around, I forgot that bookstores have coffee shops, so there are a few ladies sipping on lattes while reading. Yep, normally in yoga pants. As I walked past the coffee shop, I saw a few ladies looking at me. There weren't that many men in the store, only a couple of us black men. Like, really, only one or two. Here's the key. If you're observant and you can catch that what section the lady is in and start your conversation from a high level so dudes who don't read could maybe try to start a conversation. Having said all that, my girl was with me, so I wasn't trying to ask anybody who their favorite author was. But if I was single, I could see myself trying out the bookstore as a place to meet people. Yeah, you just, whatever section they in, you know, mm-hmm. tells you a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
They in the self-help section, you know, they ain't got no good self-esteem. You can slide right in.
Oh, Lord.
Like you said, I mean, that's what I would do. I just hang out by Steve Harvey books. try to find all the women a second guessing themselves.
Oh Lord.
Like you like to make mistakes. Like buying that book. Maybe one of right. those mistakes could be fucking me.
Say that money.
Like you said in the episode, we need some more research to be done from the single guys. I'm loving the pregame episodes. One of my favorite additions to the Blackout Tip Media Empire. Thank you. All right, and then we had episodes where we had comments on the website, regular podcast episodes. Our first one being our feedback episode 1087, Battle of the Booties,
mm-hmm.
where Mr. Span introduced us to the ratchetness that is the Detroit strip club scene.
Yes.
I don't know how you pronounce this. M Hectic left a comment. He says that rhythm at hour mark 107:54. Yeah, because yeah, I started calling terrorism that rhythm. Think Pete Smart, think Pretty Smart, you know, girl from Whiskey Wine Moonshine. Mm-hmm. She says, whenever y'all want me back, number one, whenever y'all want me back for the review, let me know.
We will, girl.
We will. We'll definitely hit you up for the second half of Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Mrs. Spann is a huge traitor. All Detroiters take an oath that we won't speak of Watts Mozambique, Henry's Palace, or any other classically Detroit establishments with people not from Detroit. He sold y'all out, man. Number three, do the commercials look ridiculous?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yes, but name me something black and ridiculous that isn't lit. I'll wait, you can't. That's true. Lit black shit do be good.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, those commercials used to come on during The Scene, which later turned into the new dance show available on YouTube. These were Detroit's version of Soul Train, and they were glorious. Wow. I didn't even, Charlotte, we don't even have a local Soul Train version TV show. I didn't even know that was a thing you could do.
Me too, me either.
That's a black ass city, man. Politicking writes in, my fellow Detroit sister, Miss Smart, is correct. Only someone who grew up in Detroit can understand the Detroit exotic dance scene circa 1980 to early 1990s. The Scene / New Dance Show was every single thing, and Watts Club Mozambique was quintessential Detroit. Those commercials came on after school during the show and on Saturday afternoons. Damn, after school.
They had the kids watching the booties pop.
I remember hearing rumors that one or two of the new dance show dances were also exotic dances by night. The clubs were quite popular with the people of Detroit. We were pioneers with the idea of charging people to celebrate alongside celebrities at their birthday party.
Yeah, cause now that's almost standard. Like,
well, celebrities is in quotes, and I think what he's saying is like, is strippers, not actual celebrities. But
okay,
my name is Diamond, and I'm having a birthday party tonight, and you need to come on down here.
Booty pop, booty pop, right. booty pop. All in the background while she talking. Yes,
Tanya W42 says, finally listening to the latest Medium talk. Wow, two things. The dude was all high and mighty until adultery was brought up. Then he was like, well, there are worse things than adultery. What the hell? Right. Remember when he was shaming us and he was upset with me because I thought there was nothing wrong with Monique having an open marriage? But then in the middle of this conversation, he's like, well, there's worse things than adultery. I mean, adultery's not that bad. And I'm like, but that's, I mean, you were just saying, yeah, crazy is crazy.
Yes, it is.
And it was so strange, he kept calling Rod Rodimus or Rodimus Prime throughout the discussion. Who the hell calls someone by that Twitter handle when talking with them on the phone? Especially since this dude should know Rod's government name if he actually listens to the show. Yeah, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. You know, you got the crazy. It just does the talking for you. What can you say? And then the poll was, would you go to the strip club in Detroit? Yes, I totally would. No, I'm scared. 79% of our audience said, no, I'm scared. 21% said, yes, I totally would. By the way, you notice the people from Detroit didn't bring up the other question we had about the strip club?
What?
If there was any crimes going on around there? You notice that? They all wrote in to tell us how great it was. Nobody wrote in to let us know if you can get shot in the parking lot. Because my thing wasn't that it wasn't lit inside.
Yeah, it was lit inside.
My problem with the kind of strip club that I would like to go to is the outside.
Yeah, outside is lit too, and not the lit I want.
Yeah, I got to find a way in that doesn't involve dying. That's all. Sugar Bay says, Rod and Karen, this is why I fucks with y'all. Not only do I get insights on current events, but I get new information as well. As soon as you read that letter from the lady from Montreal, I skipped back to get the name of her recommended strip club. We moved here a couple months ago, and I still find our way around the city. December's going to be lit. Well, thank
you. Have a good time. Throw some loonies for us.
Enjoy, Sugar Babe. You get those coins on those magnetic titties.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what she said happens there.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
Episode 1088, The Wiz Live. No comments, but, you know, it's just me and Karen discussing Sunday morning Twitter, going in on Aisha Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Kim and Kanye having a baby.
Oh.
The Wiz Live, much stuff. The poll was, and the poll does have comments, was Aisha Curry slut-shaming these hoes? So hell yes she was, or nah, I don't think so. When it comes to Aisha Curry slut shaming these hoes, the comments, the results were 63% said they don't think she was slut shaming these hoes, and 37% say hell yes she was. Yeah, I think over the past 7 days, the thing I've realized the most is, one, a lot of people like using her comments as a diving board to slut shame women.
Of course.
So even, and which proves the points of why she shouldn't have said it, because even if she says she didn't mean it to demean other women, that's exactly how it's being used. And people that are defending her that claim that she wasn't doing it immediately go into doing it. So yes. It's like, even their logical fallacy belies the point that the undertone of what she was saying was clearly slut shaming.
Yeah, I'm better than you.
Yeah, like immediately it's like, so when we decide that bitches can just wear what they want, we defending these whores? And you're like, well, she didn't say any of that.
No, she didn't. And yes, but, they can wear whatever they want.
Right, but the fact that you're saying that is proof positive of the undertone of what she said and why it was not articulated well, or it was fucked up. Either way,
right.
I don't think her being wrong is the end of the world, but some people seem to be, because that was the first thing. Number two, a lot of y'all agree with her, and because y'all agree with her, but y'all don't want to be under the banner of slut shaming or being anti-woman or anti-feminism or anti the choice of people's clothing, y'all don't want that label, so you would participate in it, but then you want to be able to walk away and be like, I don't slut shame women, but you do.
Yes, you do.
It's a common thing throughout society. Most of y'all been conditioned by religion and paganism and all kinds of weird morality. I mean, this country used to burn women at the stake for being a little too fucking independent. So it's not like you guys are free of conditioning. Many of you have hangups. You know what I mean? Everybody has them.
Yeah, include me.
But you're just not realizing it, and you're not accepting of it, you know? The fact that a woman would wear less clothes than Aisha Curry doesn't mean that she can't be married. I mean, I saw people saying, well, look at her. She's got everything that these women want.
How do you know they want that?
Right. Number one, you don't know that every woman wants that. Number two, there's women that don't wear that many clothes and still got all the shit Aisha Curry wants. So what? So now what? You know what I mean? Like Kim Kardashian don't wear a lot of clothes. Now what? You know, it's just funny how people just can't seem to keep a straight line of thought when it comes to thoughts, you know what I mean?
Because people get irrational and illogical when it comes to these thoughts.
Right. The comments were, Trojan Scooter says, after hearing Rod read her tweets and the responses, I have to say she didn't slut shame anyone. It was a critique of fashion. Yeah, I disagree. But like I said, you have to speak emoji and shade to really understand. But
right, and I think that for a lot of people who aren't on social media or really don't understand like emojis and what they've grown into and what certain emojis imply,
yeah,
just read it at face value and go, okay. But nah, when you start seeing flame and clapping hands and shit like that, you're like, oh, okay, you taking this to another level.
Yeah, my thing is, I think she was doing it. I just think you need to consider. How much do you care about it? That was my
right.
Like my whole thing wasn't she didn't do anything wrong or her comments were fine. My point is, yes, she did it, but so what? At the end of the day, like, she's just another woman that bought into that bullshit. So now you decide how angry to be. On Sunday morning Twitter, it's gonna get lit, but on Tuesday night Twitter, probably not as much response, you know. Writer Chick 4 says, I think Rod hit this one right on the head. I think the tweets were a subtweet to some Instagram girl that was throwing it at Steph. Yeah. I absolutely believe that. I doubt she'll ever confirm that, but I absolutely think that's what happened.
Right. A lot of this shit is deeper. And for those people that, same thing, you're not on Instagram and you don't really see like the comments and the posts and how people really go in and thirst and all that shit on Instagram. Yeah, this right here was targeted towards a particular person or group of people, and she wanted them to see.
Yeah. And Ali says, yeah, I think there was a tinge of slut shaming when she said she chose to remain classy and keep covered up, which implies that women who do not cover up are not classy. And what do people think of when you refer to a scantily clad woman as not classy? A hoe or a slut. Yep. There you go. It's that simple. I think a lot of men specifically didn't want to make the connection because we're probably the most conditioned to say women are sluts and hoes and shit without thinking about what that really means.
Right.
You know, I saw people discussing her comments saying they weren't slut shaming, but in every word time they referred to women was bitches, hoes, and sluts in the comments.
Right, but you're not slut shaming.
Right. Like, it's like, how would you be the fucking arbiter of anything? Right. Like, it's so privilege blinds all, but it's so mm-hmm. blinding to hear that. You know what I mean? Because my thing isn't to say, because what happens with people is I feel like everyone wants to be right.
Right.
My thing is just say you're fucking wrong and walk away. Like, it's very easy to do. Like, we're not perfect people. You know, there's times where, like, if I get mad at somebody, I want to insult them, then I might be like, man, suck my dick. That sure, there's some fucked up shit about telling somebody suck your dick.
Yes, it is.
It's some, now I don't do that as much anymore, because I mean, it's a privilege to suck my dick. Let's be honest, guys. You don't share that kind of intimacy with just anybody,
right? It ain't the same when a woman said, because somebody might take her up on that offer because she ain't got no dick, but right. You know, you can go eat my pussy. He might okay. Next thing you know, you fight him in your DM.
No woman says that as an insult,
right? Because it's not an insult,
right? So I mean, come on,
that's even the whole
even,
point.
Even women say suck my dick, but
right
but,
because it's just something about it.
Right. But even like if you get mad at somebody, you're like, man, why you acting like a bitch? Like that's problematic. It's
yes,
just,
it is.
The point is I'm willing to be like, well, I'm just problematic in that area mm-hmm. and be like, I would not defend me saying that as like, nah, mm-hmm. it's okay because this, you're right. Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah. I'm not even working on it to get it out my lexicon. If I'm at the basketball court and a dude keeps making some weak ass calls, sometimes I'll be like, man, you just making some bitch ass calls. I don't even fucking like, if someone was to walk up and be like, hey, Rod, hey, that's a misogynistic term and it's very demeaning to women. I'd be like, that's actually true. But that was a bitch ass call. So you know what I mean? But I think people won't actually want to do the first part of that, which is, oh yeah, yeah, that's wrong. But
yeah, they want to defend them being right, because there's a lot of shit I know fucked up, but I go, you know what, I don't care. Yeah,
the right answer would be either A, Aisha Curry said that shit and I kind of agree with her, so that's why I don't want to say that she's wrong, or B, she's wrong, I just don't care.
Right.
But there's no defense of, nah, she's just right, she didn't mean it that way at all. Like, fuck you. Mm-mm. You as you're calling somebody a bitch and a hoe and a slut, you're going, she didn't mean it that way. What the fuck, you sound stupid. Should the Daily Show have gone through the interview of Chris Brown with the interview of Chris Brown? Was the poll for episode 1089, Dog Shoots Man. Yes, 72% of y'all said the Daily Show should have gone through with that interview of Chris Brown. 28% said no. Allie says, if I say no, especially if Trevor Noah didn't, or was uncomfortable interviewing him. Well, I don't know if we said on the show, because I didn't read the article, I was going off the top of my head, but Trevor Noah was the one who wanted to do the interview. And his mother, Trevor Noah's mom, was a victim of domestic violence that he witnessed and stuff. So he was like, I want to have this conversation. And then the actual writers and the Daily Show, you know, brass were like, no. Now they say they're going to reschedule it, because I would like to see this conversation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things about podcasting and about our show that I love is to have these conversations that people might see as taboo, and it's not from a sensationalistic standpoint.
Mm-mm.
I want to see real honest conversations, not Don Lemon bringing on Donald Trump to troll the audience, but like I would love if someone could sit down and be like, yo, Chris Brown, what the fuck, you know, like, you know, what, where are you at with this now? What, you know, you were just stalking Carucci this year, like
mm-hmm.
you don't see how that looks. There are plenty of other programs that would gladly welcome Chris Brown onto this show. Well, yeah. Well, the other thing now is, I think more than anything, what this proved, the Daily Show is no longer the dictatorship it was under Jon Stewart.
Right.
Jon Stewart just had the veteran.
And the clout.
Yeah, he had the clout. Yeah, Jon Stewart just had the clout to be able to be like, I want this thing to happen, so this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good and bad. You know, ask why I snack. It's not always a good thing. But Trevor Noah ain't got that kind of pull.
Mm-mm.
All right, we got episode 1090, Musical Chair of Privilege. And we had one comment, Bamil says, Bamil 73 says, I loved Rod's rant about how people are now realizing how dangerous Trump is. Since he announced his candidacy by calling Mexicans rapists, I have been astounded by how many otherwise intelligent seeming people have called him a breath of political fresh air because he speaks his mind and tells us how it is. This fall, I had decided to give Saturday Night Live a chance at a shot on my DVR for the first time in about 8 years. But was not having that Trump episode. Pure fuckery. I generally dislike when non-entertainers host, but this went beyond awkward. I could not watch that shit. Even JL Covan, who was a comedy absolutist, is re-examining whether or not to keep doing his amazing Trump impression because, as he said, do you want to be that guy who was in 1939 doing a flawless Hitler impersonation? That was true. He said that on his last podcast. And yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't think, like, I don't have a problem with JL doing his impression. I think JL's impression of Trump is different than people that were saying. My main issue was people who were saying, I just find him so refreshing. I just find him, it's so funny. He's just a joke. It's so funny how he's, saying what's on his mind and giving voice to all these things. And I was like, but it's not funny because he's rising in the polls. It's definitely been taken seriously. And what the fuck have the last 8 years of life been for you guys where people are telling you, yo, the racist rhetoric is drumming up in that party and they have taken it over. And people are like, no, that's not it. It's nothing to do with racism, nothing to do with, their opposition to Obama hasn't delved into those lows. And this guy's proving it right. And people were yucking it up. Well, I just don't like Hillary Clinton. He would be better. He'd be more fun to have around Hillary Clinton. Oh, I think he has more personality than Bernie Sanders. Wouldn't it be funny if it was just Bernie versus Trump and shit? And you're like,
that's just not funny.
What's funny about it? To me, that's it's reprehensible.
Right, because he's not insulting you, so you right. Don't give a fuck.
Win or lose, this will have been a reprehensible campaign. I did have a gripe with the rant, though. By doing it just before Ball Alert, you ensured that there were a lot of dry vaginas and soft penises going into that group of tail. Well, you know what? When the spirit hits you, it hits you, Bill. On the Syrian refugee issue, I find it amazing that an elected official would go on a public forum and talk about shooting refugees in the eye. That is fucking bananas. At least Canada is going in a more progressive direction. Our new prime minister is sticking to campaign promises about bringing in more refugees, and he has more autonomy in our system of government than President Obama has in the U.S. The anti-Muslim shit goes hand in hand with the newspaper shutting down the comment section for those Tamir Rice articles. Remember when Kanye's lyric went, racism's still a lie, they just be concealing it. He got to change that shit because nobody is concealing it anymore. They just don't call it racism. More racists are like, how dare you call me a racist? I mean, I hate niggers and I think they're inferior in every way, but I'm not a racist. That's just hurtful for you to say that.
Come on now.
And the poll is, will you watch the new Roots TV show? Nope, I'm out. Yes, I'm in. Very close poll. 53% of you guys are not going to watch the new Roots miniseries TV show starring T.I.
I'm not either.
47% of y'all are with me. We watching. Mm-mm. Oh, we watching.
Have a good time.
Oh, we watching. You know what I'm saying? It's on, is what I'm saying. I don't think enough of y'all really understand. And then we had last episode, which was 1091 Preachers and Prostitutes. Mayor 2010 writes in, greetings, Rod and Karen. Pastor Jamal Bryan spoke the truth about the pastors who met with Trump. Trump used those pastors to overshadow the beatdown the Black Lives Matter protesters received at his rally. Seems to be working, in my opinion. Yep. But you know what? I don't know that it's working. I think what's so funny is the beating down of that Black Lives Matter activist had already gone unnoticed. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on our show.
But the media?
Yeah, the overall opinion of the media, they didn't give a fuck. They were on to the next shit. P.S. These hoes ain't loyal in my Pastor Jamal Bryan voice off. These hoes ain't loyal, yeah. And then lastly, the poll was, will you watch Preachers of ATL, No Way Jose, or Yes I'm In? 80% of y'all said y'all ain't watching. With only 20% of y'all gonna fuck with it. So, all right. Yeah, all right. Let's get into these voicemails. Got a few of them, a few voicemails this week. Let me start playing them.
Hey, Rod and Karen, it's Tina. It's been a while. Sorry. The semester just ended. I'm celebrating. Hallelujah, hallelujah. so excited, so excited. I mean, students are excited, but they have no idea how, just tears of joy. But I don't have a response to the show. I just caught the Holy Ghost power because you were playing Diggable Planets and any 90s hip-hop, I'm with. Man, that was amazing. Anyway, thank you guys for helping me through my long-ass commute, 3.5 hours one way, and just being here and being a staple of my listening routine. I walk around the house listening to you guys cracking up, and my girlfriend calls me a loser, but that's okay. I'm cool with that because, you know, podcast got it going on. So happy belated anniversary. Like, I'm amazed and inspired. And hope you guys are doing good in North Kakalaka. All right, peace.
Peace.
Thank you.
And you're not a loser. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter what anybody says, okay? You listen to us.
You're a winner.
You're definitely a winner. All right, guys. Thank you for, it's been a while since we talked to Tina in Miami, otherwise known as Not Nick Jew.
Oh, yes, because you sound just like her.
I know everybody just is like, oh, Nick Jew is calling in again. That's interesting. All right, next voicemail.
Hi, man, it's Maya again. I wanted to comment on the James Gunn situation. There is a really, really interesting pattern that I'm picking up, is that he never really went after women outside of his industry. He basically picked the women who couldn't fight back or couldn't societally say, I've been raped. Oh, no, you can't be raped. You're a porn star. It's your job to be fucked. And so he basically, I think a few people I've seen, he picked the perfect victims. He basically picked women who couldn't fight back. And the shady part is that his current girlfriend, is the chairman of basically the advocacy group. And that's so preposterous, like you said earlier, I think it was the Wiz Live episode. You're basically like, that's a conflict of interest. How are you going to come to someone and you're his girlfriend? And his, I don't think he mentioned her, but Joanna Angel, his ex-girlfriend, I think she was the most current one before this one. She basically said he was the most horrible person ever and just had like giant accounts of just abuse and everything. It's just awful. And so my question really is there going to be accounts of civilians who've gotten hurt? Because one of the things that has happened is that he has a really, really big teen fan base, which is problematic within himself. So that's all I wanted. Have a good day.
All right. First of all, with the James Dean situation, I feel like it was so many different things came together on that. Like, for one, like I said, I never really was a fan of his. I couldn't really watch his scenes anyway.
Mm-mm.
You know, like how, and I guess some people probably don't care, but when it just looks like the person that they're having sex with is completely not having fun, and it's right. not, and it's not role play. Like, I'm fine with role play.
Me
I
too.
Actually think that's pretty cool. Like I said, I watched many a Japanese woman enter a bus or something.
But it looks enjoyable. But a lot of those scenes, not actually his scenes, but like I've seen kind of similar porn. That shit does not look enjoyable for the woman at all. And for me personally, it is a complete turn off. Look like you just jackhammering into a hole and you're like, this does not look fun. This does not look sexy. This does not look like she's enjoying this at all.
And I think that's the appeal of it. Like, okay. So I don't even think that it's like okay. a byproduct of like, this is just my style. I think he's purposely saying I want the eyes and the support of men who watch this and go, oh, there's no way she's okay with this. You know what I mean? And the fact that some of these things happen on camera, that some of these things happen and made it all the way to video. Like,
mm-hmm.
they put these things out like, yep, this is
what we're gonna do.
Yeah, like, the fact that that's happening is, it says a lot about the entire culture. It says a lot about that type of porn. It says a lot about the people that work there. It says a lot about those women's agents, and it says a lot about the women and the fact that they don't feel empowered to do or say anything at the time.
Right.
Now I understand that you're having sex for a living, so it's a hazard of work. You know, just like any sex worker would tell you, like things like rape and shit like that is like, is part of what they do, and it's not good. It's not okay. It doesn't, but it means like when they want to press charges or something, they don't expect that to happen. Like if a prostitute walks to a police station, like, I just got raped, people, like, they're not legitimately expecting police to pursue this matter because of all sorts of like the respectability things. Right.
And that's why a lot of times these women are targeted.
Right. There's, you know, when people want to like serial kill people and shit, like a lot of people, hey, I'm gonna pick prostitutes, I'm gonna pick black women, I'm gonna pick things that people don't really care about in society.
Yeah, and people,
and I mean that, quote unquote, things people don't care about. That's how it's viewed.
And not only they target also brown people for the simple fact that, quote unquote, if you go missing, there's not gonna be a manhunt for your ass.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like, yeah, Nancy Grace won't be on TV for that.
No, she won't.
You know, it's very similar to why Daniel Hosclock picked the women that he picked to victimize. He never expected with any level of trepidation that he would actually be caught or that he would be in trouble for if he did get caught. That's why he cried those tears in court, because in his mind he was like, yeah, I'm not gonna he was not expecting to go down for that. So anyway, point being, James Dean picked these women that in general no one's going to believe them, or if they do hear it, it's more like property theft than actual rape to a lot of people. Their argument is going to be more like, well, you knew you were having sex on set that day, you knew it would probably be rough, why what are you talking about? That made a good scene. Like, that's a, you know, that's what we pay to see, we want to do that. Here's the thing, as much as people believe that shit, I think there's a group of people who hardcore really do want to see these women humiliated and,
yes sir,
and not have any consent and like just completely like, you know, disrespecting everything. The vast majority of people, I don't think they do want that. Mm-mm. So
I want it to I be think consensual.
I think what happens is he becomes unmarketable, and the only quote unquote revenge, the only quote justice that's going to happen out of this is going to be him not having a job.
Right.
He won't go to jail. He won't go to prison. He won't even go to court, probably. He, like, it may be civil court, but he will not criminally face any charges and shit, because what happens is just the allure of especially women who supported him, James Dean the feminist, that's just over with now, you know. Like, and to me, the more interesting part of this whole thing was always, how did this guy get accepted and labeled as this positive, sex positive, consent positive feminist guy? It feels like some white women feminist decided that he was giving them a lady boner, and therefore he was a good guy, and he was able to, you know, get this platform through them, not through, like, I don't think he really was necessarily doing any of this on his own. It seems like he just fell into an easy role and became the popular, you know, because he fits a certain type, he looks a certain way, he just became a very popular, like, oh, this guy is the perfect guy because some women got a lady boner on him. But it doesn't sound like he was ever that way in the industry or with his friends.
Yeah, that's true. And somebody in the chat was saying that there are a percentage of people that do like that type of thing. Yes, but overall,
yeah, I said that though.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, like, listen to the words, man. I'm not saying that there aren't people.
Yeah,
there are. I'm saying the vast majority of people feel like the bloom is off the rose because it gets too real.
Yeah,
like there's people that want the fantasy.
Yeah, the
you
fantasy.
Know, there's a lot of people that have rape fantasies.
Yes,
like I'm not here to knock that. If that's what you're into, there's still two consenting people, it's still the fantasy, it's still role play. But if that's your fantasy, that's fine. But once you tell somebody, well, this actually wasn't a fan, like this wasn't what you think it was, this is actually, you just witnessed a rape, it's now all of a sudden it's not erotic to a lot of people. Like, there's still gonna be some people obviously who are like, that's exactly what I want. But there's gonna be a lot of people that are like, that's not what the fuck I want to see.
I wanted the fantasy. It got real. I'm out.
Yeah. For example, anal sex. Fantasy wise, it's, you know, all this preparation goes into it.
Yes, it does.
There's all, you know, there's like all this.
Leasing and all kinds of shit. Yeah.
Huh?
Like, whenever you clean, like, your rectum, like, it's a lot of shit that goes behind that.
Well, I was trying to keep it, like, go ahead and get into detail on it.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You got it.
Oh yeah, like a lot of times when it comes to anal sex, people act like that shit is clean cut. Like, it's a lot of preparation. A lot of times a lot of these stars, they don't eat prior to. They do enemas. You know, you actually got to clean your body out, completely out, to do it properly. And I think, fantasy wise, sure, but when you try that stuff in reality, it's a completely different story. And a lot of people probably who listen to this have had horrible ass experience for just trying to stick your dick into something like that. And it's just one of those things, especially if the person's unprepared, you know. And the thing is, regardless of who's receiving it, it is a lot that goes behind that. And a lot of times, if the person had been practicing and all that type of stuff, it's just not a pleasurable experience. But when you see porn, boy, that stuff be, and you be like, oh, goddamn, I didn't know it was that simple. Try that shit in real life. Mm-mm. It don't slide in like that, y'all. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and like I said, but the point is, the job of the porn star, the job of the people on camera, is to make it seem like it's just spontaneous and easy.
Right.
So that's a very little thing, because anal sex is in a lot of pornography. It's not,
yes,
like,
it is.
You know, like, it's not, it's very common. So, when you're looking at, something that simple, you just go, you know, oh, this guy's going to ass to mouth, or this guy's, you know, doing, they're just going to go anal sex or whatever. And it seems like just this thing where it's just like, oh yeah, we're ready to do that. And, you know, I'm having sex. She's like, now put it in my ass, and boom, everything goes easy. That people are into that because,
yes,
it's the fantasy of it.
Correct.
You know, just the same reason people don't use condoms very often in porn. It's the fantasy of it.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to deal with the real. Like, if, mm-mm, like if you had a porn scene where it flashed on the screen, during this scene, these people both contracted HIV, y'all would be like, my dick's not hard anymore. My clit won't work. I'm not, this is no longer sexy to me.
The fantasy is gone. The illusion is gone.
So they are selling a fantasy, and I just think that James Dean, part of the fantasy that he was selling was this idea that he's the nice feminist guy who can also dominate these women and they love it and he's all about consent and shit. But that's not really what it was ever with him.
Mm-hmm.
And even with, you know, this latest fallout for him, there's gonna still be, and just like anything else, there's gonna still be people, I guarantee, that will follow him. He's going to probably still have his own website.
Of course.
There's going to be people that support him, men and women. There's going to be just like anybody else who does something egregious in society, there's always a constituency that goes, I want to see this person keep doing that thing.
Right.
But I think the vast majority of his support in and without the industry and from fans is done.
Correct. It'd be more small shit or underground shit or shit directly produced by him,
right?
But it won't be from the big companies. And to an extent, it's not really a win, but it's a win for the women, because you got his ass out and they don't have to worry about working with his butt no more.
Yeah, it just seems like everybody, I don't want to say everybody, because it's probably, but white feminism TM decided he was the guy.
Right. They decided that.
Huh?
I said yes, they decided that.
Same thing happened with Bell Knox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, someone decides this is the person that will be the spokesperson for everything. And yeah, but like, you can never trust that shit. It just means you got good PR people, you know. All right, last voicemail. I don't think we played this one yet.
Hey Rod and Karen, I was just calling because I'm listening to the episode about that sorry ass business that made the girl lose her job because she wouldn't take her braids out. And I just think that's some complete like foolishness, and just, it's just so upsetting because it's only in the policy because they're black, you know, like you might as well say niggas. Just say niggas. Like that man said, just say niggas. You don't have to say anything else but niggas. But I'm grateful enough to have found a job where
I changed my hairstyle, and my boss was like, that is so awesome and cool, and I love that you can change your hair like that. And hopefully one day, other people will have the same opportunity and have bosses that do that. But thanks for covering it. I didn't even know that was still a thing, because it makes me so damn mad. I can't even think straight, but I just have to interrupt my listening and call you guys because I was so fucking pissed. But hopefully one day we'll move past all this foolishness and just be appreciated and not have all of these other stipulations put on us as black women. Thank you guys for covering everything. Love ya. Bye.
Peace.
Yeah. It is still a thing. I mean, the military has it as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, black women's hair is policed and penalized constantly.
Right, and you go, okay, you're talking about hairstyles that nobody else wear but brown people. White women don't wear box braids. Like, on the average, you know, white women don't wear twists. Like, it's just certain hairstyles that white women don't wear. So when you come targeting certain hairstyles or puffs, you go, okay, white people say I don't puff out. Who are you targeting? And then when you be like, you're targeting black people, everybody want to backtrack. But what the fuck do you mean when you say certain things?
Yep. All right. We got some emails, and of course, phone lines are open, 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. 704-557-0186. There we go. All right. First one is from, John. Hi, Rod and Karen, in regards to the James Dean rape story. One thing I'm surprised few people have mentioned is the contrast in response that Stoya got when she aired her claims compared to the response that Bill Cosby's victims got. Stoya was believed right away, whereas it took years, dozens of victims, and a whole lot of denial before the public really started to side with Cosby's victims. The two different scenarios have some pretty big differences to be a perfect analogy. But I still can't help but wonder what the response would have been if the victim had been a black woman calling Dean out on Twitter rather than a white girl with a huge following. Well, okay, there's a few things here. One, James Dean is not Bill Cosby level adored by the world. So even within the industry of porn, I don't think you're going to find any man who's universally loved. Like, right. Porn is already kind of considered a taboo, skeevy thing. So, mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it's not. It doesn't take that much to believe the worst about a person who's having sex and for public consumption, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would throw out is if it was a black woman calling him out, which I think Cosby's first accusers were also white. So,
yeah, they were.
I don't. So that's one reason I don't think it matters, the race calling out Cosby or this person in respect to. Like compared to each other, but let's just compare it in society in general. If it would have been, let's say, let me think, who works with white dudes a lot? Let's just say it would have been Skin Diamond accusing them.
Yeah.
She might have got some traction with that because she has a big following of white fans and stuff like that that might have believed
she
her.
Does.
But if it would have been like Jada Fire or something who, you know, has a following but probably isn't as beloved, as Skin Diamond, there's a good chance it'd be ignored, you know? Like, it's the caliber of star that would accuse him definitely matters. And, in porn, where women can actually be stars and bigger stars than men for the most part,
yes, sir.
It definitely has a reverse effect, I think, where it's like a woman saying, hey, this guy is fucked up in this scenario is one of the few industries where we're actually prone to probably listen to a woman.
Right.
Because she is somebody, as opposed to like, say if, you know, say if it was just a different industry where a woman accused somebody, it's like, nobody's gonna really believe her. And normally the man is gonna be the bigger star. So it's,
right.
Say it was like TV news and someone said, hey, Dan Brokaw, grab my titties, people would be like, Dan Brokaw is somebody, what do you want from him?
True, versus in most porn industry, the women make the most money, the women are the stars, the women bring the eyes, so, yeah. You know, like you said, it's kind of reverse, it's like, I'm making the money, you did something to me.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that she's white, though, I mean, because obviously that's what helps your porn following, you know what I mean? I don't think it relates to Kazi in that way, but I'm gonna keep reading because I think you make a good point later that it does relate to, kind of does relate to some shit with Kazi. It's great to see so many people in the porn industry doing the right thing and believing her. My optimistic side hopes that maybe the whole Kazi thing finally started to wake us up to the importance of doing that. That was the thing I was gonna say. Maybe it has an effect where people saw the Kazi shit and they were like, I don't want to be on the side of telling the first woman who accuses somebody something, no, go away, what do you want? And then 8 women later, I look stupid.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people did on social media.
Yeah, so that could be it. It will be interesting to see if the industry takes any measure to try to guarantee safety for its performers, though as a mostly contract industry, it probably won't go along willingly with any major changes to how they operate. To avoiding regulation is one of the big reasons employers like to hire workers on contract terms. Sadly, I can't imagine too many politicians, maybe Jerry Brown, taking up the case, even though they should. Person called, but they hung up. I was gonna say also, you're right, politically people might not step it up, but with social media now, and especially porn stars having huge followings on social media,
mm-hmm.
maybe they will have people that are more active, you know what I mean, that are willing to speak up. Hold on, we got this call coming in. Yo, you're on with the Blackout Tips.
Oh shit, I'm on.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey,
Ron and Karen.
How you doing?
What's going on? Who's this?
It's Keith Jones from Brooklyn, New York.
What's going on, Keith, man? What you call in about?
Oh, I had a call about, I want to thank you and Karen for, like, the whole, not really covering the whole Trump thing. Because, like, what really pissed me off was when, I forgot what episode it was, but it was the one where Russell Simmons wrote the letter.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, like, fuck that guy. Like, he waited until then to write him a letter because he was offended. I mean, like, all the stuff Trump had did to, like, black people and to us, like, you know, the whole thing about him and asking the president for his birth certificate, he should have stopped messing with him then.
Right. Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's like, black people, probably all of us have this or maybe had some, I'm sure some of y'all have cleaned it up, but it's like when you find out your Facebook friends are racist.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
Like you have a white friend, y'all kick it, but when y'all kick it, it ain't like y'all talking about this shit. You know, when he kicks it with Donald Trump, they talking about rich guy shit. Like, oh, I own this golf course. Hey, look at my mansion. If you ever want to stay here, come stay here, Russ. And Russ is just like, okay, he seems cool with me, but then I don't understand how you can watch this guy go in public and say all this stupid shit, and only now do you start to speak up. That's what was scary to me, because obviously Trump has been publicly saying stuff like this for years.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And for Russ to pull it now, it seems so fucking convenient. But yeah, it was like, Russ basically got caught hanging out with a Facebook friend that wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because, like, even back, like, because I'm from New York, and even back in the 80s, when he went hard on that whole Central Park thing or whatever, and I'm pretty sure you saw that documentary about the Central Park rapists or whatever, and, like, even back then, Trump was crazy. So we all knew here in New York City, we wasn't all that shocked about how crazy he really was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's totally a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Keith.
Ah, man, I just want to give a quick shout out to, like, everybody in the Facebook group. I mean, thank y'all for creating that. That thing is amazing. Like, everybody has been cool, and it really, like, lifts my spirit to go on that every single day, because it's a lot of really cool people on that group.
It is.
There are some amazing people in there, man. We love those guys.
We do.
All right, thanks for picking my call.
All right, dog. Peace.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, Facebook group is lit. I actually got an email like, how do I join the group? Like, listen.
No, right.
Listen, guys. This is easier than even sending me an email. Search the Blackout Tips on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
One is a page and one is a group. You have to ask to join the group. It's a closed group. If you look like you're not spam, we'll let you in. And as long as you don't post no stupid shit you can stay in.
Mm-hmm.
The other, I had to kick somebody out for posting some meme about telling women keep their clothes on. I'm like, nigga, you be in this group liking and looking at these women and men dancing and dressing and taking clothes off and shit, and then you be talking about some slut shaming, man, you get mm-mm. fuck out.
Ain't that the truth?
Hey, yo. You on with the Blackout Tips?
Hey, Ron. Hey, Karen. It's Leslie Mack. What's going on, you guys?
What's going on, Leslie?
How you doing?
Not the much. I'm making a very white guy's birthday dinner. It's his birthday today.
Aww. Oh, yeah. I saw that on Facebook, man. Happy birthday, Drew.
Aw, thanks, guys. I'll let him know. Actually, he's listening, so he'll hear that. real quick, I actually wanted to ask you guys a question. Have you guys seen the recent Donald Trump actions that white folks have been doing at, like, the Donald Trump rallies? I don't know if you've seen anything about it online or whatever.
Nah. What have they been doing?
So they've been disrupting. They did it in Raleigh. They did it in Charleston. And I think they did it in New York last night. And then again in South Carolina earlier today. And so they go into the rally, and then different pockets of them are placed around the room. And then they stand up and they say stuff like, Donald Trump, KKK, no fascist USA, or all lives matter when black lives matter, and ooh, a bunch of other stuff like that. So they've been like doing these disruptions at his rallies.
Yo, that's dope, that man. That's dope, man.
Yeah,
it's mostly white people.
Yeah, it's white folks. They've been doing it in conjunction with some immigrant groups that have been protesting, like, outside, and then inside the white folks are doing their thing. So it's been interesting to watch. I haven't seen much mass organizing and direct action with white people. But I also I find it interesting also, because you guys were just talking about this, like, that now is when Trump's rhetoric has been taken seriously. And I don't know what that's about. It's not as though, I mean, this country is pretty Islamophobic as it is, so I don't right. think that it's some sort of like, oh, that people feel for Muslim people. That right. would be a strange reason. But what do you guys think? I mean, what is it about this? Like, white people are really, like, I haven't seen them upset about this dude until now.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just literally he's a threat now. Like before,
yeah, like, he might win, so we got to do some shit to stop this.
Yeah, because a lot of those people that thought it was funny also had this, like, he doesn't really want to be president, and right. at some point
he'll drop
the
out.
The serious candidates like Jeb will surge forward, and we'll all grow up, and the fun time will be over, and this is all.
And he'll weed himself out.
Yeah, he'll be the Herman Cain. He'll be, you know, the Ted Cruz. You know, these guys that we laugh at or whatever.
He's been hanging around a while.
Yeah, I think they completely missed out on the seriousness of it. But also, he's actually at the point now where he's disturbing a lot of these people who are political junkies.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
because right. now they can't have their, like, political fun anymore. He's, you know, he's like when Cam Newton dominates in football, and people that like traditional quarterbacks eventually start being like, damn, I gotta consider him for MVP. And now they're having it like, I don't like the way he does his Superman mm-hmm. thing. And you know what else? look at his completion percentage. And I don't like, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it was cute like 6 weeks ago. It was just fun. But now that he's actually being considered for, you know, one of the two people that can win the MVP of the league,
we have
another story.
Yeah, now we got to start looking at these numbers a little differently. Now, all of a sudden, his defense is great, and maybe his receivers aren't that bad. Well, that's how people are now. They're being critical of him, but I've always been critical of him, and I've always thought it was extremely distasteful. Mm-hmm. And especially for a lot of white people, it just showed such a huge lack of intersectionality or any empathy towards anyone that wasn't just like a white person. Mm-hmm. because they were easily looking, like, to me it was extremely offensive when he said Mexican people were rapists,
right?
But I heard people making jokes about it, or people being like, well, a lot of people feel that way, and at least he's not backing down, and at least he spoke his mind, at least he was honest. And I was like, yeah, when did we decide that was the measure of okay? Like, it's a terrible fucked up thing to say, but honesty is what we want to vote for in the office. That's never been what we voted for.
Yeah. You probably are totally right about this being finally a threat to them and them being concerned about it. But I even find this with, like, quote unquote progressive and liberal folks. Like, they didn't have too much to say about Trump before. Now it's like, I mean, I can't go on my fucking timeline or my Facebook page or even just talking to white people. And it's like, they're just like, they can't, it's almost like snowballed into this, like, well, if you don't say something, then it's a problem. And my other thing is that these dudes that are on the GOP side, Ted Cruz, all these other, like, their shit is just as bad. It's just not as blatant. Like, they still are talking about tests to make sure that if Syrians are coming over here, they're Christian. That's fucked up. Yeah. And so to pitch it as this, like, oh, Donald has done something so wrong, it's like, nah, all this shit is fucked up. And you guys just are deciding right now to speak up about this one isolated small thing, despite the fact that he's been doing this shit since jump. And it's your previous caller mentioned the Central Park Five. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but Donald Trump took out a full page ad in every single newspaper when the verdict for the Central Park Five, when the jury was out, demanding the death penalty for them. Demanding the death penalty for these five children that were railroaded and weren't even fucking guilty. And he has never apologized to them for that. So to me, it's like, this is who he's always been. This, like, bombastic, like, making up shit, doing whatever he wants, quote unquote telling the truth. And it's just weird to me to see this generalized outrage all of a sudden. It seems to have reached this, like, fevered pitch where if you're not saying something bad about Trump, then you can't say anything. Or I don't know.
He had a Comedy Central roast. He had The Apprentice. He was on Saturday Night Live. He demanded the president. He had a press conference demanding the president show his birth certificate, and then a press conference after the president did show his birth certificate. I've never gotten it. I've never thought it was funny. I've just always felt like the kind of people that really reveled in worshiping him or seeing him as some sort of, like, bigger than life figure were all people who honestly don't really care about other people when it comes down to that shit. And they don't want to hear that shit, but it's the truth. Like, yeah, you don't really give a fuck about the idea that a black man's, you know, not just his ethnicity and his nationality is questioned, but also his intellect. He wanted to see his transcripts from college. You want to see the president's transcripts from college, like, this motherfucker. So like, it was just completely abhorrent to me. And now seeing people come around, I mean, I guess obviously better late than never. Welcome to the party. Right. Not like no one's kicking
but
these
I'm
people
so
out,
suspect
but
of their
sucks.
Motives. Like, I sit back and I'm like, why is this so offensive now? Like, it was offensive to me as a black person when he said shit about Mexicans.
He's threatening.
Guess what? There's black Mexican people. I'm offended now because 1/3 of Muslims in this country are black people. Right. So, like, I don't understand. I don't know. It's just
he's threatening white people now. This is in their sandbox. Like, like, the Republican Party, more than anything, is white people's sandbox. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we, like, the people that are old school, the old money who make the decisions, he's outside of that loop and he's winning and they don't like that shit. So now it's time for him to go.
Right.
You know, same thing. And even with, like, you know, liberal white people, like, as much as they go, well, you need to vote for Bernie because your black ass needs to shut the fuck up about all this black shit. Even those people are like, but we can all agree that we don't want Trump to be president. So, like, so even those people are now mobilized because they're like, oh, he could actually win. Now I do care. Karen, you've been wanting to say something all this time. Karen, what were you going
to
say?
Oh, and to me, in my perspective, when it comes to Donald Trump, truth be told, money. A lot of this boils down to fucking money. A lot of the reason why candidates that are up there don't call him out, because his money stretches wide and far, and his money has been deep in a lot of these motherfuckers' pockets for years. And a lot of these people who haven't said anything, his money has touched them. He's campaigned them. He sponsored them. So he's bought his way to a lot of their silence. But it's coming to the point where motherfucker, okay, your money don't matter no more. See, that's the problem. When it got to the point where, okay, we got to ignore your money right now and go, motherfucker, you can't win. But while I was benefiting from your money, I wasn't going to say anything. And this is why it's amazing that he's been in the lead so far. And you mean to tell me you don't have now one competent candidate on the Republican side that doesn't come out and say this motherfucker is a lie? And the sad part about it, they do the same shit to Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh isn't even a fucking politician. They don't call him out and tell him to sit his ass down either.
Yep. All right. Well,
that's very true.
Leslie?
One last thing I wanted to ask about was these two black women that were at that Trump rally. Did you guys talk about them on the show at all? I can't remember.
Oh yeah, we talked about them. He gonna build that wall, and he gonna build it tall, and we gonna watch Better Call Saul, and we gonna ball at the mall.
I heard them on another show yesterday on Sirius, and they were asked like a legit question, and literally just went into a full pantomime like preacher routine, and disregarded the entire question, and then ended the interview with, "I gotta go. We got another interview lined up." So I was sitting there like, whoa, they're straight up just full on, fell out.
Yeah, it's performing.
Go.
Oh yeah.
It's performing. Yeah. They're not even attempting to, they're performing blackness for money or attention, whichever one it is. I don't know how they pay their bills, but yeah, they're just performing for Donald Trump on his behalf, and it's just proof that as long as you do that, you'll never be without a job.
Ever be without limelight.
Yep.
Crazy. Anyway, thanks, guys. I was calling to take up too much time.
No problem.
Hope you guys have a great weekend.
No
you
problem. Too. Enjoy the birthday dinner, Drew, and, you know, look it up.
All right.
Peace.
All right. So, let's see. Back to this email. You guys also nailed it on the rabbit fucking style of porn. That shit is only good for the last 30 seconds of scrolling. Never understood why anybody would want to watch that for extended periods. It's ridiculous. I don't get it.
It's not my thing. Definitely not my thing.
I don't know
all.
Who's into that.
But somebody is, because they keep making it.
But I definitely don't get it. That shit is weird. I also appreciate you said that the abusive nature of Dean and porn in general style. The whole Gonzo style of porn is always seen creepy because it's about degrading the women and often looks like the men are pushing them up to or beyond their limits of what they signed up for. Yeah, I can't watch that shit, honestly. But like I said, I don't have a problem with role playing porn.
Mm-mm.
For example, like if, like all the casting porn that's obviously fake.
Mm-hmm.
Or when we had Sarah J on and we asked her about like Bang Bros and Bang Bus and shit. And she's like, come on, I'm a porn star. Why the fuck would I get into a goddamn van with a guy with a camera and fuck somebody? Obviously, it's fake, right?
Right.
But she's like, it's funny because some people do believe it.
Yes, they
but,
do.
You know, for, I think, more sophisticated people, it's like, well, it's a role playing. It's a situation. I think situations can be hot. I think it can turn people on. But some of this shit is not situational, and it is about, let's see if we, you know, like, when Bell Knox was doing porn and like some of the porn, I forget the name, maybe facial abuse. I don't know who she was working with, but she was working with someone and I saw a description of the scene because it was a part of an article about her. And it was like they were talking bad about her being a feminist and talking shit about her parents disowning her and shit. Like things that really happened to her in real life. There was no role playing there. The whole point was look at this horrible experience that she's having on camera. For you to jack off to, we're humiliating her, we're pushing it way beyond the limits, and we're talking about what really, like, her real life, we're trying to make her cry. Like, there's guys that are into that.
Yes, it is.
Ghetto Gaggers and shit, there's guys that are into that. I
can't do none of
that. Like, they probably, like, I would assume that to them, they probably can't get it off without it being real. And there's gonna be those guys that will support James Dean and whatever work he does, but I hope that for the most part people like don't work with him anymore.
Oh, so
and he has to stop doing porn.
Me too.
The whole Gonzo style porn seems creepy. Oh yeah, all right. Some of the accounts from Dean's victims are now showing that seems to be exactly what is happening with many of the porn companies, and that is fucked up and that needs to change. Yeah, that's the question I have, because his girlfriend can't be in charge of the organization that's asking porn companies to change.
That's what I was asking the whole time, how the fuck she got in charge.
Well, we explained how she got in charge. I don't think she should stay in charge.
Me either.
You know, I just think someone else got to take over. And also, what does that organization do? Like, do they have any pull? Can they make things change? Because this is textbook examples of these are things that should be able to put a shutdown on the industry. You know, or put a shutdown, maybe not the industry, but on these companies, on these shoots. Like, these women don't feel they have an advocate. Like, it seems kind of fucked up that the only thing you can do is like, well, you place your complaint. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be more than that, or else no one's going to live by it anyway. Especially when the average person that does these films, like, only does a couple. So it's like, if someone's disposable and you feel like, hey, we're gonna just make this girl have a horrible experience and quit porn anyway, high five, dude, bro. Like, then someone has to fight against that in the industry, and it can't be James Dean's girlfriend. P.S. at Karen, all olive oils matter.
Mm-mm.
Sure, that pure, fresh virgin oil looks great when you shopping, but when you get home and it's ready to cook, you need that well-seasoned pan with that oil that's been on the stove a bunch of times, all ready to make things really delicious.
Mm-mm.
Love you guys. I agree.
Mm-mm.
So you just went from, wow, you slush that. You think you a Yeesha Curry olive oil?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm. Got out of all that I have on some clothes. Cover up.
That oil over there?
Mm-hmm.
You're so wrong, but thank you. Odin writes in. Okay, first of all, how you even fix your mouth to say Morgan needs to die? Here's what you gonna do. Go back and watch episode 1 of season 1 and then tell me who taught Rick the King crack commandments of the zombie apocalypse. Huh? Who that was? Oh yeah, that's right. His name is Morgan. Shoot them hoes right in the head, Jones. That's right. That's who. Rick should still be at the house talking about some. I say you shoot that man in the head if Morgan didn't shoot him, son. There wouldn't be even be a Rick if there was no Morgan. And if there's no Rick, then there's no squad. Chris Brown's them hoes ain't loyal playing in the background. I guess when they wrote this email. Side note, damn, the zombies sure have changed a lot from episode 1. They ran faster than all the black men's team in the 4x4 relay at the Olympics. And they were stopping to visibly sniff things and pick up toy dolls and, whoa, picking up bricks to smash windows like it was an All Zombies Matter protest. I'll just chuck it up to zombies retaining some human qualities when things first went south. Yeah, I don't even remember that. Anyways, all jokes aside, Ron and Karen, love you guys. You pretty much perfectly, and I will really... You're pretty much perfect, and I really wish hella more people knew about you. You're on the cusp of going prime time. I can feel it. Thank you. I'm a creature of habit. I need something to listen to at the office. I used to have that 1 3-hour radio show playing in the background, the one with the progressive gay white woman and man. I don't know what that is. But I had to let them go because they were so incredibly tone deaf on racial issues. One of their famous white male guests even yelled at a black caller who called them out on it, saying, "Hey pal, I'm your ally," at the caller before hanging up on them. Damn, what? That was the thing that happened?
Yeah, I could see you being like, okay, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I don't even know what show this is referring to.
Mm-mm.
3-hour radio show.
Must be like regular radio.
Yeah, some shit I ain't listen to. I was so done with them after that, but it took a whole lot of searching for finding a replacement show. Hell, I didn't even know what a podcast was, let alone so many talented black people hosted them.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of people, especially people that come from traditional radio, don't realize that most of your smartphones, basically in the palm of your hand, you could do a lot of shit with it, but as people find out, people begin to grow and change.
I know my email has gone on too long. Yes, I'm going to keep going anyway, but I had to reach out and sincerely say thank you for being so intelligent, intersectional, insightful, engaging, and just plain funny as fuck. Black programs made by black people and for black people is an idea that's long overdue. I needed this and didn't even know how much I needed it. I wish there was a TVGWT podcast when I was growing up. I eventually got where I needed to be on a lot of matters on intersectionality and womanism, and I'm sure your show would have helped me get there sooner. Yeah, I think one thing Karen just said, and I agree, is if you're doing a podcast anyway or you're doing anything public, eventually you will start to lean, I think, more liberal or more progressive if you learn more information, unless you just want to be ignorant.
Correct.
Like, eventually you will learn some shit because people are constantly interacting with you and teaching you shit, and you're constantly covering news, and you start to see certain trends and patterns, and in my opinion, if you're any level of critical thinker, it's hard to just ignore them.
Yeah, because I've learned a lot over, I'd say, the past 5 years, 10 years. It's a lot of terminology, a lot of things about sexuality and lifestyle that you'd have caught me a few years ago. I'd have been one of people go, what the fuck is that? But now I'm going, oh, okay. And now I understand, and especially with podcasting, where you have people that can relate to and make things personable. I think a lot of times when a lot of people are in bubbles where they aren't around certain groups or certain types of people, so they don't understand. So when they hear these terms and these languages, they can't associate a person with it, so they lack that empathy and sympathy. But when you have podcasters that are LGBTQ, when you have podcasters that, you know, have different types of marriages, when you have podcasters that walk these different forms of lifestyle, be, you know, all of a sudden you learn what an atheist is and all these other terms that for a lot of people you've been blind to, because on the average a lot of people have been in a bubble. And the thing about radio does not open you to these opportunities like podcasting does.
You guys are the best, and even though you're both dead wrong about Morgan and Glenn, I always try to tell as many people about you as I can. I often find myself referring to TBGWT in conversation and on my very tiny Tumblr blog. Have a great day, and please don't ever stop being unapologetically black. Thanks. Let's see. Rhea writes in, "Hi guys, I left this review on both iTunes and Stitcher, but obviously I did something wrong." Oh no, you did it right. We got it. We read it today, the 6th or 7th attempt, lady. Thank you very much, Rhea.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate your review.
We that was do. Dope.
Official grandmother of the show. We didn't forget. Sandy Hook Truthers, episode 1089. "I think that we reached a point where there are people who value the idea of arming themselves more than life itself." So, we have. Sandy Hook was not only one of the worst mass shooters in our history. Instead of trying to find a solution that could prevent a recurrence or even acknowledging there is a problem, they go to the complete opposite direction, denying that it even happened. Even going so far as to invent the idea of a crisis actor, which is the most absurd claim I've ever heard. They don't realize the depth of planning, coordination, resources a conspiracy like this would need to be pulled off, what was this planned decades in advance, waiting until these kids, teacher, shooter were all old enough in the exact right position to fool everyone, even faking their histories would take a monumental effort, all the way down to planting witnesses all throughout their quote unquote life. The con goes on forever. I think there's a deep vein of nihilism that we've tapped into the recent years. These guys fetishize guns as an ultimate equalizer and decide violence is inevitable. The only recourse is to be able to spill more blood than your neighbor. It's going to be generational, but we've got to change our views on violence before this becomes a daily occurrence. Shit, it already is. We're actually having more mass shootings than we have days in a year now.
Shit.
Yeah, I actually saw a study on it the other day where it was like, yeah, we actually have, like, it was like it's day 300 or something in the U.S. and it's like shooting 355 of multiple people in public. So
woo.
Also, there were some low-key schism from the truthers implying all white women look alike. Yeah, that was right.
Aww.
It was like it was different, obviously different white women. It's like, there she is again. Let's see. Kwame writes in, "Subject, love the show, calm and relaxing message." Okay, "So I am so glad I found about your show/shows in a world where I feel overwhelmed by the rhetoric of the sea of random and unusual and expected extreme white people bullshit, having an even louder platform than normal. Thanks social media and hotel randomness. I've been trying to calm down my mind and remind myself of my 90s high school self and skepticism and not believe the hype. I was planning on drinking some tea, etc., to lay down and listen to some of the premium shows before heading to bed. I've been having some physical stress related ailments. Your show has been helpful in my healing. It's good to laugh again and chill. But I got totally confused signing up and ended up taking a couple more hours than I thought to get connected, LOL. Really, I was taking too long to fill the info in. A part of my issue is getting disoriented, sometimes even with slight anxiety. So I was like, where did everything go? RSS who? I thought I knew what I was doing. Reconnecting to myself and getting out of a 4-year depression will make you get a little behind on shit. Technology, aka freaking thing. I was like, okay. I can Google this, how to do this. Anyway, love you guys, love the show. P.S. Thanks for the love at the end of the show. It feels good to get genuine I love you. A motherless child, no real talk. We had some traumatic technical difficulties, but she was my mama. Miyeo, shout out to Badu. Good night, Kwame Jamal, the Black Ranger. Stay black, LOL. Thanks, Kwame.
Thank you, sweetie.
And, yeah,
I'm glad you got over that anxiety, and I hope you enjoy the premium stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The hypocrisy strain. This is the last one from Stefan, who says, I hate what the mainstream media has become to this society, given so many idiotic examples, idiotic and dangerous people, a pass for ratings and the stupid both sides angle. Never in my life have I seen so many cowards in journalism be afraid to call something out, be it racism, sexism, misogyny, etc. These fools care how now that Trump went all racist when the man has always been that. But now is the time to take a stand. The time to take a stand against the guy was that guy was when he asked the president for his birth certificate. The time to take a stand to that guy was when he told Jorge Ramos to go back to Univision, which is loaded in obvious coded language, so much for the press having his back. The time to stand up to him simply should have happened a long ass time ago, but because the sanctity of journalism is dead in all its forms, let's not fight for anything against clowns like Trump, Cruz, Huckabee, or any other potential crazy person. All both sides is giving up. Yeah, I mean, Carly Fiorina has been allowed to lie, make up stuff about Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood got shot up, and none of that has landed at her feet. It's amazing.
Mm-mm.
Like, what is your job as a media person? Like, why don't you do your fucking job? Like, it's like, these aren't even like leaps of questions. These are just obvious questions that every American's thinking. You can't even do that. Anyway, all both sides has given us are people unwilling to be curious and combating against the lies and deceit, giving these motherfuckers a pass at the pass at the pass. I'm sick of it, plain sick of it. This is the most cowardly press in history, and I hope historians point that out over time, because I've never seen so much cowardice from sorry suckers in my life. Yeah, you know, the only time I could think of when it was worse was, in my opinion, was when George Bush's presidency. When obvious lies would be told and there wouldn't even be a follow-up question.
Mm-mm.
At his press conferences, his press secretary would just be fucking like snide to the media, and they wouldn't even say anything because they just were scared they would lose access.
Right.
It was amazing. It's still one of those times where you almost can't believe that happened in America. But it is America, and if you know the real history of America, it ain't that unbelievable. Anyway, I also find it funny that these same people who talk about civil liberties, free speech, and fairness are nowhere to be found when black people are targeted or families' personal information is being aired without reason or morality. Shit, when those people shot up San Bernardino, the media was the people in their house giving out personal information of their family and children and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have the guts to challenge the most that many abuses police officers, white nationalists, or other hate groups to combat against them, but they're so weak and so empty. They care now that he turned up the hatred to the highest extremes, or when a colleague who suffers from an arm disability,
when they started caring.
Right. It's so stupid that they didn't care until all the crap that came out of Trump's mouth targeted their own, yet not people fighting for our rights every day. Such suckers. I have another word for them, but I think suckers fits our terrible press just fine. Thanks, Stefan. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And that's it for today's episode. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
So, make sure you guys get your, we're officially like out of Christmas cards. I ordered a few more. I don't know, a few more people want to get them mailed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just send your address to theblackouts@gmail.com. But, yeah, we're officially like out. The only thing we have left, I had to start putting the old ones from last year in there. So you guys are, Christmas cards are going to be on their way soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, until tomorrow. Love you.
I love you too. Mwah.